devastating times for us. And so we want to take a time to pray together today. I hope that we can pray not only for your own situation, but then there may be a person that's sitting next to you right now that is struggling with some relational issue. And so we want to pray for each other. And we want to ask God that as God is the God who forgives us and who is a God of reconciliation, that we would also want to pray for the people around us, that there would be forgiveness within the church, with other people that we interact with, and that there would be reconciliation that we seek out. All right? And so let's pray for this topic together. Let's take a time to pray. And today, every week, I ask us to pray in a different manner. Sometimes it's silent, sometimes it's in whispers, sometimes it's out loud. And so today I want to ask us to pray in whispers. And perhaps you might be praying for something you're going through yourself, and you can go ahead and pray about that particular issue. But if not, pray for the people that are struggling with forgiveness or with reconciliation. Let's do that at this time, and then I'll close in prayer. Let's pray. Thank you, dear Lord, for this time. Thank you. Father God, we thank you so much for your love that you pour out upon us. We thank you so much for the gospel truth that because God, the Heavenly Father, desired to have a relationship with his people, that he sought and made a way for reconciliation. We thank you, Lord, our Father in heaven, that you've done this work and you've completed it through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we are able to receive your forgiveness. And we are able to be reconciled back to you. And Lord, I pray for all of us here that are struggling with forgiving others, that are struggling with being forgiven. Those of us that are struggling with wanting to reconcile with people in our lives, whether they be family members, our parents, maybe our children, maybe our spouses, maybe other people of our extended family, our siblings maybe, whether it be with coworkers, with neighbors, with our employers or our employees. God, I pray that you be the one working through us, Lord, to heal us so that we would be able to forgive. Lord, would you heal the relationships so that there would be reconciliation? And Lord, I know for some of us it's just a really, really difficult circumstance. But Lord, I know that you are powerful and that you are able to bring comfort and healing and reconciliation. And so, Lord, we look to you and we ask that you would do this work in our lives. And now as we look to your word, I pray, God, that you would be the one speaking into the hearts of every single person in this place. And Lord, that it would bear fruit in the hearts of your people. I thank you, dear Lord, for our time together, and I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 to 25. And the title of today's message is, You Will Be Hated by All. It's not a very nice-sounding title. But we are going to read about it, and we're going to be talking about it today. The passage is in Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 to 25. And you can use the Pew Bibles that are in front of you. You can look at the screen that's above here. You can use your phone to look at your Bible. I do want to just say a quick word of encouragement to perhaps have your own Bible or to use your own phone rather than just looking at the screen, because it allows an opportunity for us to take notes in our Bibles, or you can save notes in your Bible app also, so that whenever we do come back to it, you guys can be reminded of today's message. All right? Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 to 25. Trusting that you guys have found it, this is the reading of God's Word. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? Amen. We've been going through the book of Matthew, and last week, or 2 weeks ago, we talked about how Jesus saw the harvest that was plentiful, and Jesus commanded his disciples to pray that the Lord of the harvest would send workers into his harvest field. And then the disciples became the answer to that prayer, because Jesus sends out his disciples to the harvest to proclaim about the kingdom, to proclaim the good news of the kingdom, and to go and heal every sickness and affliction. And so that's what Jesus did. But then Jesus talks about how the disciples will go to some people and they will accept, and you can be there with them and continue to share with them. But then there will be some people that will reject the message. And when you encounter that, then you're supposed to leave the town and shake the dust off your feet and go to the next town. Now, when we think about evangelism, or when we think about Christianity, I want to ask this question. When you think about your life as a Christian, and as you think about your future and the things that you're experiencing in your life, how do you usually think God will work? Or how do you think your Christian life is supposed to be? Some of us here may think that Jesus would come and he would rescue me from all of my troubles, and so that my life would be a nice, perfect life, that Jesus would come and comfort me by bringing wonderful experiences contrary to the experiences that I experienced in the past. Some of us, we may think that this is what our Christian life is going to be like, and that we just need to look to God and he's going to make everything all right. For some of us, that hasn't been the case. For some of us, we've been facing persecution ever since we became a Christian. And I know this to be the case for some of us here that have become Christians in a family that is not a Christian family. And you've been having to face different kinds of trials, whether it be people speaking against your religion, your family members, whether it be people that are looking down on you because you're a Christian now. You may be facing different kinds of persecutions from coworkers who may ask, how can you believe in that? You're a professor with a doctoral degree. How can you believe in something like that? And we may face different kinds of persecutions, and we may be facing this for the rest of our lives. Jesus tells us in this passage today, you will be hated by all. Christians will face persecution. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. The main idea for today is this. When we do face persecution, we should be wise as serpents. That's the first point. Second point is innocent as doves. And the third point is it is enough. All right? First point again, wise as serpents. When we face persecution, we should be wise as serpents. Second, innocent as doves. And third, it is enough. We'll be talking about these three ideas. All right. The first point, wise as serpents. In verse 16, it says this, behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Okay, Jesus is speaking to his disciples at that time, and he's saying, I'm going to send you like sheep that are not able to defend themselves in the midst of wolves, where there will be dangers. Now, for a lot of us, we may think about this idea, and we might think, well, if Jesus is with me and I'm a Christian, then I'm not going to be facing difficulties, right? Jesus is going to make my life wonderful, right? And there are some preachers out there that will say, Jesus will give you all the money and all the finances, all the health that you need. And we think, maybe if I believe in Jesus, he will make my life better in these physical forms. But Jesus says, I'm sending you out into the world in the midst of wolves. You will face dangers. You will face it. And so, he says in verse 16, be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. And the rest of the passage describes what it means to actually be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. So we'll be breaking the passage down in that way. All right, so what does it mean to be wise as serpents? Well, back then when Jesus was telling this to the disciples had an understanding what it meant to be wise as serpents. What is it? Why is a serpent considered wise? Well, I received a message this past week, and the word serpent came up in this person's reading of Scripture. And ask the question, isn't a serpent always associated with Satan, with the devil? So then, why are we supposed to be like the devil, right? When we look at this passage, it kind of sounds like that, right? So what is this? Where's this idea of wise as serpents coming from? Well, one of the ideas is that we can look all the way back to that account where Adam and Eve did have a conversation with Satan, with the serpent. And what's very interesting is that if you look back at that story, it actually starts off by saying, now the serpent was more cunning than any other animal in the whole garden. The serpent was cunning. And this word here, wise, can be translated as be smart. If you use it in a bad way, this word can be used as be cunning. But if you use it in a good way, it could be used as be wise. Right? So that's where the idea is coming from. And it's not saying be like the serpent, where you need to go and trick people. That's not what it's saying. But it's saying be aware of what's really going on in this world. Be aware of the circumstances that are going on. And Satan back then, he was, and that's why he was able to tempt Adam and Eve. But what Jesus is pointing to right now is saying, look, be aware that as I send you out in the midst of wolves, that there will be dangers. And that's why it says in verse 17, it says, beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you. They will beat you. These kinds of things will happen. It will happen in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings, not only for the disciples, it's not going to only be persecution from their own people, but it's going to be persecution from the Gentile people that don't believe in God Almighty and in Yahweh. They will be receiving persecution from everyone. That's what Jesus is saying. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. And when they deliver you over, it says, do not be anxious. We'll get to that. But further down it says, in verse 21, brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. Whoa. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. And it says at the very end also, it is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? What is Jesus saying by saying all of this? What he's saying is that you will be persecuted. Christian, if you are a true believer in Jesus Christ, you will be persecuted. And one idea that one of the commentators that I read this past week, one idea that they brought up was that if you are not experiencing persecution in your own life, if you're not experiencing people coming and speaking against you, and perhaps speaking words of hate towards you, maybe not always to that extreme, but you feel that tension. If you're not feeling it, then perhaps you're not going out and sharing enough about your faith. Okay, that's what one commentator said. But let's think about it. Jesus did say, you will face persecution. And so in verse 17, let's go back to verse 17, it says, beware of men. And when we hear this, we might be thinking, oh, Jesus is saying, be careful. There are these dangerous people out there. And for some of us, it might cause us to be fearful and to think, oh man, we need to watch out for those people out there. But that's not what Jesus is saying. What Jesus is saying here is, be wise and know that this kind of circumstance will happen in our lifetime. And perhaps we personally might not face it, but the church will face it. And we just need to think about how people around the world right now that we would call our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world are facing persecution. I wanted to read a couple stories of some people that are facing persecution. If you want to read more about these stories, just go to persecution.com. And you'll find a lot of stories on there. It's very, very challenging and encouraging to read some of their stories. But let me read for you a couple. At persecution.com, there's one story from about a person in Uganda. It says this: a Christian convert from Islam was kidnapped by unknown attackers recently and questioned about his faith. At midnight, someone knocked on the door of Sohail's, that's the guy's name, Sohail, knocked on the door of Sohail's rented home and called his name. When he answered the door, some men grabbed him, blindfolded him, and took him away. His kidnappers, whom he never saw, asked him repeatedly why he had left Islam and moved to a new house. Sohail remained silent for a while, but after repeated questioning, he told them he could make any decision he liked. When they threatened to kill him, Sohail told them he was ready to die and would never change his mind. The next day, his kidnappers drove him back to a main road and released him. When Sohail first became a Christian, his brothers chased him from the family home. This is one person's story, a real-life person in Uganda. There's another story. I'm just going to read the headline from Vietnam. This is from Vietnam. Village leaders tortured a Hmong Christian recently in an attempt to get him and his wife to renounce their new Christian faith. Here's another headline from Nepal. Stories from our... There's another story from Nepal that's on the site that you guys could look at. And there are many stories that are coming out from our neighboring country. If you guys know what I'm talking about. The big country next door. There's a lot of stories coming out of there where people are being captured, beaten, tortured, put under house arrest for long periods of time. And there have been stories in the past where people have been put to death. It's happening. And when Jesus says, be wise as serpents, what he's saying is, don't be naive. This is going to happen in our lifetime. And you never know when this extreme type of persecution might happen in your life. But it is happening for brothers and sisters out there right now. And one of the things that we can be doing as a church is to be praying for the persecuted brothers and sisters that are out there. Praying that God would go and help them to be faithful to his truth and to continue to testify the truth about Jesus Christ. Be wise. Don't think that we're going to go through this lifetime thinking that our life as a Christian is supposed to be a wonderful, you know, peaceful, no troubles. You know, if you become a Christian and you get married to another Christian, that there's going to be no troubles in there. No, be wise. Jesus said there will be persecution in your life. You will face all kinds of trials and hardships, and especially be the case that you will face these kinds of trials because of your faith. And you know, in our society today, in the world, in different cities around the world, we may face different kinds of persecution. It might not be direct, but there will be different ideas, ideals that exist today that say, Christians, you guys are naive. You guys don't know anything. You guys are not advanced in your thinking. You guys say you have all these degrees and everything, but you don't know a thing. How can you speak against homosexuality? People will say this, and they will look down on us and say, look, the Bible says all of this kind of stuff. You don't believe in everything. Then why are you believing those passages about homosexuality? Or they might say things like, how can you say stuff against abortion? Now, I just want to say up front, homosexuality and abortion, they are complicated issues. They are complicated issues, and there are a lot of things that we need to actually talk through to talk about these things adequately. But there are a lot of people out there that will look down on Christians because of some of the views that we hold. They'll say, how can you believe that there is that God actually exists? How can you reject the idea that the world formed in a natural way? Evolution makes the most sense, right? How can you, Christian, believe that evolution doesn't make sense? Again, this can be a complicated topic. We could talk more about this afterwards. If you have questions about it, come and talk to me, please. They may have views against us about, you know, we are a modern society. How can you still believe that marriage should be a faithful marriage? And why can't dating be more open? Why can't we test out what it would be like to be living with that person? Why can't we do that? Christians, you guys don't understand a thing. And we face these different kinds of persecutions. Now, again, if you have any questions about any of these topics, please come and talk to me or any of the elders after the service. We would love to talk with you about it. But the idea is, be wise and know that people will continue to speak against Christians Because Jesus said so. And it is happening. Now, to be honest, some of us are sitting here thinking, well, we're not really facing that kind of persecution today. Or, yes, maybe some of those ideas are out there and I don't really feel that I'm facing persecution. I mean, my life does seem pretty okay. But imagine if you were to go through persecution, and Jesus says, be innocent as doves, and we're going to talk about how Jesus talks about being comforted and not to be anxious and things like that, and to endure to the end. We're going to be talking about that. But then imagine if you were the person like this brother from Uganda who was captured, kidnapped at midnight and started being questioned and beaten and tortured, and you came out of that, how would you feel? There are some Christian brothers that have given their report on Facebook that live in the neighboring country, and they openly share about how they started having all kinds of fear, all kinds of doubts, all kinds of struggles because of what they experienced. Now, we may not necessarily relate to this idea of actually facing really hard persecution. Some of us might not. Some of us do. Some of us, whenever we go to our parents' homes or our family's homes, we're faced with the decision, am I going to bye-bye or not? Am I going to go against the family and tradition or not? What am I going to do? And if I say I don't, then they might start yelling at me and they might start saying all this negative stuff about me. Some of you guys actually face this, I know. But some of us are sitting here saying, I don't experience that kind of stuff. But imagine if you were the person to go through that kind of persecution. Imagine you would potentially, like those brothers and sisters in the neighboring country, you might struggle with questions about faith, about fear. You might struggle with fear. You might feel really anxious. What if this happens again? You might feel traumatized. You might feel like there's danger all around you and you might want to protect yourself and find some way to get away from this danger. And perhaps for some of us here, we may never face that kind of persecution, that direct persecution, but you know what it feels like to have those feelings after being persecuted. Some of us, we struggle with anxiousness. Some of us, we struggle with not being able to sleep well at night. And there may be many reasons why we're not able to sleep well at night. I know, there may be different reasons out there. But for some of us, it is because we're really anxious. For some of us, it is because we're just constantly thinking about this idea and it's just constantly filling our minds and it's just so difficult to deal with. I experienced something like that this past week. There were two nights where I had a really difficult time sleeping. And I was laying in bed trying to fall asleep, but I was just tossing and turning. And I felt my body heating up. I felt my pulse pumping. I felt my heart beating. I felt really anxious. It wasn't a good feeling. And there are these thoughts that kept coming to my mind. What if this and that? And I was trying to find some way to like fight against these ideas, but just kept coming back. And I had a really difficult time this past week. Some of you guys might identify with this. Jesus says, be wise. These kinds of things will happen. But Jesus also says, be innocent as doves. That's the second point. Be innocent as doves. As we think about where the idea of a dove, why Jesus used this idea of a dove? Again, the people back then, they would have understood what Jesus was talking about. But we don't really. Why a dove? Well, one of the ideas is that when you think back on the story of Noah's ark, Noah opened the window of the ark and he let out a raven at first. And then the raven flew around and it came back. And for some reason, Noah didn't send the raven out again, right? Well, we don't know why, but ravens are apparently stronger. Maybe it flew around for a long time. Maybe it didn't know where it was supposed to fly to, and they didn't know when the raven was going to come back. And so they didn't have any evidence for a period of time whether or not there was land out there. So then the second time, Noah sends out a dove. Noah sends out a dove, flies around, comes back. He sends the dove out again, flies around, finds a twig, and brings it back. Sends out the dove again, and the third time the dove doesn't come back. And from this type of story and from other passages in different extra-biblical texts, the scholars would say the idea of a dove is a person that is innocent in the sense that they are one-track-minded. And they're not really thinking about anything else. And maybe they're thinking in a way like, everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be good. I just need to keep flying. Just keep flying. Just keep flying. Sorry, that was a reference to Finding Nemo. Maybe that's what the doves were thinking, right? All you have to do is just keep flying and everything will be fine. And so, for ancient times, they also thought doves were dumb. Because they don't know about all the hardships that we're going to face. Right? They think everything's going to be fine. They don't know what's really going on. So there was this idea that doves were one-track-minded, but innocent in that sense, but they were dumb. So Jesus says, be wise like the serpent, but also innocent, dedicated like a dove. How does Jesus talk about being innocent as doves? Well, in verse 19 it says this, when they deliver you over, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. Okay, it's not just about being anxious about what am I going to say, It's about also how am I going to say it. Right? Jesus is covering every aspect about don't be anxious. That's the main idea. Don't be anxious about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. What you're supposed to say is going to be given to you. And not only that, it says, for it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Okay? What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, look, my presence, the Holy Spirit, will be with you. I will be with you at that time, so don't be anxious. I will give you even the words that you're going to say. Don't be anxious. I will be with you. And then it says in verse 22, it says, you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Okay. So there's this idea that you will be saved. So be innocent and one-tracked to be dedicated and be faithful and endure. Don't give up your faith when you're going through that difficult time. Hold on to your faith and be dedicated to it. Be faithful to it. And just keep going, remembering that Christ is with us. Endure to the end and you will be saved. You will be delivered. So Jesus says, be wise like servants. Know that persecution will come. But be innocent. Be dedicated. Be faithful to what we believe in Jesus Christ. Going back to my story about what happened this past week. It was a big struggle. I couldn't sleep. And there were temptations that, like, I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about. I'm sure a lot of you guys do. But if you find yourself in that kind of situation, there are thoughts that just keep flooding your mind, and you just can't not stop thinking about it. It's just all these thoughts, and sometimes it's thoughts about other people, sometimes it's thoughts about yourself, and sometimes it's thoughts about like how they're so evil, or what they might do again to you. Sometimes there are thoughts about, I'm so evil, I don't know if I'm good enough. And for me, I have a tendency, if I don't take myself out of this situation, I have this tendency of like constantly thinking about that idea, and I keep going down this rabbit hole, this trail of like being so caught up in all of these thoughts and ideas. And you know what? Some of those ideas are lies. You know, like, you know, what ended up happening to me this past week was I was in a conflict with someone. And all these thoughts started coming to my mind thinking, why does that person think that way? That person is not thinking in the right way. All of these were temptations that came to my mind, and I really didn't know what was going on in that person's mind. But these temptations came to judge that person and to think this person is not really thinking about the whole picture. All of these temptations came, and if I allowed myself to just to keep thinking about those temptations, then I would fall into sin of judging that person. I would just keep thinking that person is a horrible person. Or there might be situations, other times, where I think that person is right. I am such a terrible person. Maybe I shouldn't be the pastor at this church. Maybe I shouldn't be in ministry. Maybe I shouldn't do this or that. Maybe. And some of us might ask this question, you know, am I really a Christian? Some of us might end up going to that degree. It's really hard, and especially when Jesus says, the one who endures to the end will be saved. Some of us are here thinking, that's really hard. You're telling me that I'm going to be going through all kinds of struggles like this, and I'm going to face persecution where even my family members are going to be going against me, and you're telling me to be comforted and just endure? It's just so tiring. I don't know if I could do that. What makes it worse is that in verse 23 it says this, when they persecute you in one town, flee to the next, for truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. And let me just start off by saying that there are a lot of different theories about what this passage actually means. I read a lot of a number of scholars' point of views about this passage, and there are a lot of different point of views about it. But I want to share with you one particular point of view, and the basic idea is this: that the disciples, he was talking to the disciples, and it can't mean that Jesus Christ will return when they go through all the towns of Israel, because they didn't face any of the persecution that Jesus was talking about here. Not really until the day that Jesus Christ had to die, or until after Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead and ascended into heaven. And that's when they really faced the persecution where some of them were put to death. Right? So we couldn't necessarily mean that. So what could it mean? The basic idea is this, that Jesus Christ will come and comfort you while you are in the process of going to all of the Israelites and to the nations. Jesus Christ will come to you and continue to show you that he is with you. The Son of Man will come, and he will do this before you go throughout all the towns of Israel. And the idea of the towns of Israel is basically the idea that, you know, for the time, maybe there were towns of Israelites in Israel during that time, but the Israelites have spread out all throughout the world, even during the time of Jesus. There were still Israelites that were all around the world. And so one other scholar was saying, the way that you could think about it is that this work is never done. this work is never done, and we need to continue to do this work. But here's the thing. What makes it worse is that the idea is that we will continue to face persecution. We will continue to face persecution. So what do? Verse 24, it says, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough. This is the third point. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? What do? We look to Jesus. When we go through our times of persecution, we look to Jesus. When we go through times of difficulty where we face that kind of anxiety that people who are being persecuted might face, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Because they continue to say things against Jesus. And we're no greater than Jesus. We're not going to be able to escape the persecution that Jesus didn't. Look to Jesus. Jesus says, it is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher. We don't have to be perfect. And in fact, we can't be perfect like Jesus, but we are like Jesus. We are similar. We are growing and we are becoming like disciples of Jesus. We are disciples of Jesus. And so it is enough for other people out there to persecute us, but it is enough that we are followers of Jesus. And let's think about Jesus for a moment. Jesus was wise like a serpent. He knew what his situation was. He knew what was coming. He expected his death to come. But he's greater than that serpent in the Old Testament. Because there's a curse that God gave to that serpent saying, the offspring of Eve will crush the serpent's head, though he may strike the heel of the offspring. It was talking about Jesus. But Jesus would be greater than that serpent. Not only that, as we think about the idea of doves, Jesus was more dedicated to his will, to the Father's will, dedicated to what he was supposed to do on the earth than any one of us. He was more innocent than a dove. And if you think about how the dove is talked about in the Old Testament, it's really interesting. The dove is supposed to be this innocent thing. But the Bible says, if you don't have a perfect lamb to sacrifice, if you don't have the finances to be able to find a lamb to use, then you can buy two doves. Not just one, but two doves. And use that as sacrifice. And Jesus, we can say he was our lamb, but he was our dove for us. And he, knowing that he would go to the cross, was willing to go to the cross and die for our sins. Why? Because he was dedicated to the idea that even though he died, even though he may have faced persecution to the end, there was this promise that he would be brought back to life, that the Father would bring him back to life. And he looked to that promise. There's a greater joy in knowing that there is a future hope. And we may never face it on this earth. And it may be tiring, but we can always look to the future and know that there is a future resurrection, that Christ will reign. There is ultimate victory one day. And we have that hope to look forward to. And that's why it says in Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight, sin, which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Knowing what Christ has accomplished, we can know that there's victory in Him, that Jesus Christ is with us, and that we can hold on to the truth that He will forgive us, and that there is reconciliation between us and God, and that there is a future hope. So how do we do this? When you do face persecution, or even when you're facing the effects of persecution, like anxiousness, what do we do? First, when you're in that moment and you're facing all these temptations to go down that rabbit trail, when you're faced with this temptation, look to Jesus right away. Right in that moment, look to Jesus. And then there may be all these lies that are coming. You're not good enough. You're not a good Christian. Or you're so dumb. You're not that great of a person. Or that person hates you. Whatever, whatever. There are all these lies that are coming. Denounce those lies and say, no. Those are all lies. There may be lies that say, Jesus doesn't love you. He doesn't care about you. That's why He's not rescuing you. No. These are all lies. Denounce those lies. Look to Jesus. Denounce those lies. And then cling to the truth. The promises that Jesus has given to us. That He is with us. There is a future hope. He does love you. He understands everything that you're going through. He's able to be compassionate and understand the temptations that you're facing. Jesus is with us. Cling to this truth and say, Jesus, I'm facing this trial right now, and I want to denounce those lies, and I want to cling on to what you're telling me, that this is the truth. And confess whatever sins that you need to confess, and hold on to Jesus, brothers and sisters. Some even more practical ways to do this is that, you know, when we do face times of maybe anxiousness, it may be because that we are having a conflict with someone in our lives. Go reconcile with that person. Forgive that person. And how to forgive, that's another sermon. But go and forgive that person and seek to be reconciled with that person. Seek accountability. The best way to seek accountability is to join one of our community groups. Seek accountability. You need people to speak truth into your lives when we're not able to remember the truth for ourselves. We need this community. Seek accountability. And position yourself to have the truth constantly in your lives. So take time to pray every day. Take time to read through God's Word, to be reminded about what God's promises actually are. And cling to Jesus, brothers and sisters. Let's pray. We're going to go into a time of communion at this time. But as I get ready here and as I introduce the communion, take some time to pray in your heart, in your own hearts. Is there anything that you feel like you need to confess before the Lord? Is there anything where you feel like you are just being attacked by other people? Is there anything where you're feeling anxious and you just don't know what to do about that? Go before the Lord at this time, confessing and remembering how Christ has completed the work to forgive us of our sins, how He suffered and died for us. So take a moment to pray right now as I prepare everything.